Welcome to Sauce Secrets, a Vail of Wood podcast where we take you behind the bar and deep into the world of the Texas alcohol manufacturing industry. I'm your host, Clark Smith, a partner at Vail of Wood. Each episode, we sit down with a trailblazer behind Texas's favorite drinks to dive into their personal journeys, career-defining moves, and the key business decisions that set them apart. Whether you're an aspiring alcohol entrepreneur or just love a good business success story, you'll get insider knowledge on what it takes to thrive in this competitive industry right here in Texas. So pour yourself a glass and let's uncover the sauce secrets. Welcome to Sauce Secrets, it's the Vail of Wood podcast where we explore the alcohol manufacturing industry, the business success stories, and the backgrounds that got people to where they are right now. I could not be more excited to introduce our guest, Mr. Fernando Perez, who is joining us from Jalisco, Mexico. My name is Clark Smith. My colleague Bronte Story is working on this episode as well. I think we can go ahead and dive right in. Fernando, just interested to hear about your background, your role with Grupo Solave, and then we can dive right in.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for having us here. Bronte, Clark, thanks for your warm introduction. Yes, I'm Fernando Perez from Guadalajara, Mexico. I'm CEO of Grupo Solave. This is a private, family-owned company from the state of Jalisco. And we are dedicated basically and mainly on everything that has to do with the agave production and the agave derivatives. So all the way from the agave fields, all the way to transform the agaves into... We have two divisions, the ingredients division, which is mainly agave nectar, agave syrup. And we have the distillery part, which is Casanatima. I think we'll dig a little bit deeper afterwards in both parts. So we have all the supply chain cover from the agave plantations all the way to the finished products.
Well, that's one of the aspects of your background and your business that's so fascinating is how you have two very different consumer products, even though it's from the same plant, right? So while we certainly want to hear about both of them. But I got a quick icebreaker for you, Fernando. All right, so what's the best mixer to have with tequila? Is it Squirt or Jarritos?
Okay, I think I'll go more with the Squirt. I think there's this pretty famous drink here in Mexico, which is called Paloma, that goes with Squirt. So personally, I'll go more for the Squirt side.
I think I'm with you. I actually like fresh grapefruit juice in my Paloma, but I've gotten used to having it with Squirt as well. I want to just hear more about your personal background and then your professional journey to how you got to where you are today.
Our journey here in the agave world goes back to, we have some generation history behind on the agave growing industry. First of all, Grupo Solave is part of Oleomex, which is a family group also in the vegetable oil industry. So that's the group we are part of. But in the agave side, we had some roots in Amatitan, Jalisco, which is where we are established, growing agave for several generations. And we bought a small distillery back in the days, which was not operating. So that's how I started personally into this business. After we acquired this distillery and was not operating, there were some thoughts on starting into the tequila industry. I got the opportunity to start this project of putting together the pieces in order to have a distillery now, besides having the agave plantations. And actually it turned out like totally different project. This acquisition of this distillery was just the first step, but we ended up building a totally different project, a more state-of-the-art distillery, and to be able to transform all these agave plantations that we had already. So that's how I started here. I got the opportunity to be the founder of this project, even though it's 100% family funded. It's a private project. It's a project that's part of Grupo Elomex. But this is how I started with Grupo Solave. And 2010, we started building our distillery, our facilities also to transform agave into agave syrup. So that's the beginnings of Grupo Solave, go back to 2010. And that's when everything started to become real.
So I want to ask about the plantation. I read somewhere that you guys at any given time may have as many as 20 million agaves.
Right now we have around 6 to 7,000 hectares of established of agave plantation. That puts us in a position of being the largest private blue agave growers because we were focused 100% to the blue agave plantations. That division is called Magno Campo. It's one of the three business units that we have under the Grupo Solavia umbrella. The main reason and to continue growing our own supply and growing our own agaves is that we have the true belief that the quality of like being vertically integrated, besides giving you this cost advantage in your sourcing, it also gives you the ability of controlling your raw material from the very beginning. So quality starts from the fields. We truly believe that. And being able to control your source, the quality of your source, and the cost, of course, is also an advantage. But the constant supply, that you won't be at risk of a shortage or any other thing that can move the supply chain. That's the main reason that drives us to continue growing our agaves and having the best quality of raw material from the very beginning. As you know, agave is a 6 to 7 year cycle. So we have all these cycles covered. That's why we have these 6 to 7,000 hectares established, because our goal is to establish around 1,000 hectares per year to feed our production. So that's the main reason to have this amount of agaves. So we're based in Amatitan, as I mentioned before, Amatitan being the birth of the tequila production, where the oldest records of tequila production, there are still records of the first production, tequila production, are in Amatitan, and that's our house. So we're proud of that also. It's something that we always talk about. And this is something that we will continue doing in the future.
So before we start getting into the brands that you guys are going to be launching here in the U.S., you guys have historically for the last, 15 or so years, you guys have what I would call co-packing, or you've been manufacturing the juice, the product for other brands. Can you talk briefly about that process and how you've been evolving from that into an actual entry into the market with your own brands?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's been a pretty exciting journey. First, and this goes back a little bit to being able to source your own raw material and have the traceability of the whole chain. So as we started as the new producers of tequila, well, you need to start getting the wheel turning and having production products, but at some point you need to have a way of selling it and being able to really continue having this continuous production. So we start offering and we start partnering with some important business partners, offering this wholesome solution of being able to grow the agave and transforming that agave into finished product in order to offer a great quality product, a constant and secure production to our clients. And that's how we started getting some traction with big players in the industry. So quality and traceability was something that was driving us at that point in order to be able to be attractive to people that didn't have that part of the agave or the production, that brands that they want their sourcing, they want some partner to rely on, someone that could be trusted in terms of quality, of sourcing, and of all these pieces that we've been working on for several time. And that's how we started producing for big brands. And then in the recent times, we've been also a part of interesting projects, helping them to come to life. One of them is 818, which is a brand that we are proudly part of as a business partner. It's been a huge success. I mean, this is part of the celebrity brands, and it's something that's making a lot of noise in the market and helping the whole industry to get more attraction from maybe drinkers that were in the other industries or with other preferences, driving them into tequila. So it's something we consider pretty important. Another brand that is also in the market right now that we were proudly part of is Comos. Comos into the high end and part of the segment, let's say. It's another really interesting brand because also in Casantima, we have a lot of capacity for storage of aged products. Like our cellar, we have a variety of barrels there that are for this type of brand. Like they are only aged expressions. They are happy working with us in doing some blends and taking advantage of this cellar that we can offer also to create this complexity of profiles. And then right now, before, I know this is something we're going to enter afterwards, but now we are pretty excited working in our own projects, in our own brands, also brands that are flagships from our distillery, projects that we've been working from scratch and that we want to present to the world and to express all these capacities that we have in talent, human resources, production-wise, and also quality-wise from the fields. We want to express all these things that we've been mastering and all this knowledge and all this experience. We want to put them into these new projects that we are also about to release. And one of them is already in the market.
So let's talk about that. So we have in the U.S., especially in the whiskey market, the bourbon industry, the concept of grain to glass. You guys take grain to glass to the next level. I mean, you are literally, you have your own agave that you are putting into bottles and then into the glasses. Whereas on the U.S. side, I think it's very uncommon for a manufacturer to actually be doing the agricultural component as well, all the way through distilling and storage and everything. So to ask about how you guys have come about to bring those products into the U.S. market, how those experiences have been, and the legal challenges that you might have faced, I'm going to let Bronte kind of talk about what she's been working with you guys on. But how is that project going of bringing the products into the U.S.?
The U.S. market for tequila is the primary market in the world. That's the market where everyone wants to perform because it's a number one market. And also the level of consumer that you can find in the U.S. in terms of the aficionados and all these connoisseurs and all these tequila snobs that are now in the highest trend ever. That's something we have to take care of, and we have to really understand which is the type of market that you have to approach. So having that into account, we've been working since day one with international agencies, American experts of how to create and what's the best product that we can create and we can develop that could suit these markets. So that's something that's from day one we took into consideration. As you said, having this grain to glass or agave to glass model is something that is even better and more suitable and more attractive for all these type of consumers. So we needed to also take advantage of that and be able to use it in our favor. And we have this denomination of origin. As you know, tequila is a denomination of origin. So yes, there's a lot of legal stuff that you have to go through, you have to respect, and you have to take care of, because at the end of the day, we need to take care of our industry as distillers and as brand owners. So you have to keep the legal compliances that the NOM does. You have to bottle from origin. You cannot enter the U.S. or any other market without being bottled from origin. You have to be sourced from blue agave only, and having your own NOM, which is your own distillery, that's in order with the Mexican regulation of the Norma Oficial Mexicana, which is called for tequila. That's something that we need to keep daily record of your actions. So those are the main resources and legal issues that we need to sort out as a new brand coming into the market. And then the next legal part in the U.S., which is a counterpart, that's new things that we needed to learn, new things that we needed to comply with. But so far, I think we've been having a fun and easy journey with the right guys helping us to go through all these stages.
Like Clark was saying, I've also been assisting your team with some of the work more on the branding side, such as, you know, drafting privacy policies and a user-generated policy. And what does all of that mean? There's a lot of administrative work on the back end, right? When you're creating a brand, you have to hire a website design developer and figure out what your brand is supposed to mean and what it looks like. I was wondering if you could talk about what's the overarching goal for each of these brands? You know, how do you want to distinguish them? Have you guys talked about target markets for those and what your goals for those are?
Yes, totally. And it's something that we are pretty committed with. And in all our communication and all this design that you mentioned, first of all, our first flagship brand that we just released, that's a brand that's more focused on a aficionado, a consumer. It's inspired on the beauty of the process and on bringing all these traditional methods to a glass. So this first brand, that's Lailia, we are trying to target these consumers or these tequila aficionados or these people that they really care about what they are drinking, what their everyday consumption or their everyday culture of spending money or buying something. They really dig into what they do. So this first profile of tequila, which is 100% artisanal methods, bringing all this tradition, goes to this consumer that likes to sip the tequila, that likes to enjoy and really appreciate all the flavors of the agave, all the slow cooking methods, the Tahona crush type of crushing of extraction. And that's our first and main target of this first tequila brand. It's a profile that we've been working on for 2 years, using all our capabilities in the distillery, all this slow cooking, brick oven, Tahona crush. And we've been over several tastings with our own internal panels, also with experts of the industry in the US market, applying all the feedback. And it doesn't mean that we came with bad or good tequilas, but the thing is that we needed to find this actual profile that will suit this target and this expression, let's say, that we wanted to come with. And that's the first brand that we have. We have a second brand that's coming in the future that's on the open, I'd like to say, right now. And that's a totally different approach, using, again, traditional methods and using our master distiller as our main asset also in the distillery. We're coming with a brand that's with a little higher proof that will be more suitable for mixing, for cocktails, for that part of the bartender, and giving the bartender tools also to create complex cocktails with this brand. Also with all this agave flavor and all this agave presence. So while mixing it, you don't lose them, you know, in a cocktail. So that's the idea of a little higher proof with a different approach also to our consumers, with a Mexican type of heritage behind the branding. You've been behind this for some time, so you might know. We think it's a good complement to our portfolio of products. So having these two brands in two different segments, targeting two different types of consumers, but without losing this heritage, this tradition, this expression that we want to have from our distillery. That's what we try to create every day and really keep up with this message, with this communication, and with these plans of differentiating quality and complexity in our profiles.
That's really interesting. What's your choice of cocktail for that higher proof tequila that you guys are looking to launch for that second brand?
We've been in the development of some in-house recipes for that second one. Even though I'm a big, let's say, type of just neat drinker, I love both just neat, really. That's honest from my side to say that I like them both neat. It's both profiles are complex and unique. I think that the second one, the higher proof one, I think that there are several cocktails that you will like with, but you can try it as a margarita and it's going to be the greatest margarita you will have.
If you're making some in-house recipes, just let us know if you need any help with that. I'm more
totally for the tasting. Or we can send you some and then you can start doing your own recipes and let us know which ones are the best.
That sounds a little bit dangerous, but
I don't think we'd turn this down.
So the first brand is La Elia. Do you have a brand name yet for the second product?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's 100% legally registered in the US. So in the next couple of weeks, I might be able to say it out loud. Well, we are on the process.
Well, we're really excited. We can't wait to hear what that entails as well. So it's really interesting when you launch these brands in the United States outside of the regulatory complex, you have to think about all of these different things about terms and conditions and advising users on safe practices for consumption and whatnot. We talked a lot about the user-generated policies that have to be put on your websites and on social media accounts with your team and your marketing team as well about those. I was curious if you had any thoughts about whether or not those types of practices are different in Mexico. Does Mexico require similar regulations about advising users on safe consumption practices? Is the U.S. more stringent on that? We were just curious about the differences on those.
All our efforts are focused on the U.S. market. They're different, but at the same time, most of them are the same, but with the little local adjustments, let's say. Right now, as you mentioned, we're working very, very tight with Bellawood, with your help in on all these terms of service, privacy, the UGC policies, and some things that we really need to take very good care of, and you need to have them. But yes, here in Mexico, the regulations at the end of the day are the same, but with some restrictions in different topics. I think that from the labels all the way to the advertising and what you are able to show and not to show, and how can you advertise your brand, the different type of media. It's just a matter of adjusting some details. But yes, and I think that the U.S. restrictions, the U.S. government takes a lot of care, and you have to be aware of a lot of things that you cannot just let pass.
They seem rather complementary to each other, even though they might be a little different. What's the intention of protecting your brand and whatnot as well? Does your team intend to file trademarks or have different slogans for the brand or do anything else like that to protect the brand as it launches in the United States?
Yes. Totally. All our brands are currently on notice of allowance. And once we launch every brand and really demonstrate that you're selling your product, that's when you obtain all these registration titles. But yes, the team is making a constant effort on trying to register everything that is able to register: slogans, logos, images, and names, and all those things. So you can protect as much as you can.
All right, guys, you've walked us through some fantastic overview of the, obviously, the background of the family and the business, but you really gave us some in-depth views of the actual product itself, what we call the sauce. So I wanted to wrap up with the same question we ask every one of our friends that we do an episode with. From y'all's perspective, this is going to be a little bit different, though, but so far, based on your experience with the U.S. market, U.S. consumer, tequila consumer preferences, what's one piece of advice that you might share with somebody in the U.S. who's looking to get into the tequila industry, if that's manufacturing, if that's at the retail level or at the manufacturing level?
I think it's a two-way answer that are complementary to each other. First of all, I think from the brand side, I think you have to know your story. You have to know which story to tell. You have to know your audience or the target that you want to tell that story to. So I think you have to commit to that 100%. Nowadays, these spirits overall industries, it's crowded. There's a lot of brands coming out. There's a lot of brands in all the categories that try to be born every year. So I think it's key to really have your story. Everyone has the opportunity to tell a story, and you have to commit to yours. And that ties also that part to the manufacturing side, because that story has to be legit with what you're saying, with what you're offering. So you have to tie it with a manufacturer side that can give you and can keep up with you in that story. You know, if it's quality, if it's the sourcing, if it's where you're harvesting your agaves, if it's where you're producing your juice and the methods you're using, I think that part has to be perfectly tied, and you have to be legit. You have to be true to your consumers. You have to tell the story, but you have to tell a true story also, because nowadays also consumers are more and more, they dig in every time more and more, and they really want to see where their food is being sourced, where their clothes are being made, and what's the source of the, you know. So nowadays we're entering more and more into a world that's more aware, and they care more, because there's all this part of the sustainability that you have to also be part of in order to give back also to the planet. And there are not trends. I mean, nowadays it's a reality. You have to also take care of water, take care of your resources. So to round up the kind of the answer is, like, you have to be true to your story, commit with what you're trying to communicate, but be true to it with a manufacturer part that can also keep up with you and give you what you are really trying to give to your consumers.
Well, Fernando Perez, that's a fascinating story you tell, and I think we can hopefully keep in touch and maybe visit again in a couple years and glean from your experience with Grupo Salave and Casa Natima as you're really getting into the U.S. market. Again, we're thankful for you joining us and look forward to visiting again soon.
Thank you, and I think it's been a great partnership with you, and hopefully we can bring more new projects, successful ones, to the table and keep seeing us in the next couple of years for sure.
Awesome. Fernando, muchas gracias.
Thank you both for the time.
Thank you.